Thank you for tuning in to the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We are one church with multiple campuses in the Elgin and Bartlett communities. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org, our church app, or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, may you be blessed by this week's message.
Our first reading is Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified? He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Our second reading is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ has died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appears to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of his word. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we have traveled through this Lent listening to letters and stories from other witnesses of the resurrection. We heard from Mary Magdalene, we heard from Peter, from Thomas, from the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and from Paul. And last week we heard from another witness who was only a child when Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem during that Holy Week. And all of the witnesses give the different accounts from their perspectives and their experiences. And now when we come to Easter Sunday, often in that unique and churchy way, which people outside of the church don't always understand or get because, you know, we do our things and have our secret handshakes and that kind of stuff. And we walk up to say, and Jesus is risen. And then you're supposed to give the response, he is risen indeed. It's kind of like when we say God is good and everybody says all the time. And we say all the time and God is good. Now, if you ever know someone new to the church or visiting to the church and they're on a Sunday when we do that, you might look at them because they might look around and go, oh, was I supposed to say something? What did they do? But what's interesting is if you think about that first resurrection day, that first Easter Sunday, we come in to Easter Sunday on Sunday morning, and everything is beautiful, and it's gone from darker colors and even a stripped altar perhaps on Good Friday to all the bright flowers and the bright white of the fabric and all that sort of thing. But on that first Easter Sunday, there was actually a great deal of confusion and fear and wondering, what now? And as they begin, as the community of faith, to encounter the risen Christ, kind of baffled and perplexed. Jesus had said they had heard in other scriptures he would raise from the dead and rise on the third day, but as simple as it might sound to us, they didn't necessarily understand that or fully grasp what that would mean for them. And so when they encounter the living Christ on Easter Sunday, on the day of resurrection, whatever joy might be lying under the surface is still tainted by a little bit of what the heck is going on. Because it's something so radical and so different that God is active in this incredible and crazy and unique way. Raised his son, he sent in human form to be with his people, who was then killed and crucified, and now has been raised from the dead. I mean, I think of other times of great shock and great confusion. When I drove home from work, I was doing hospice work at this time, and I was somewhere around, I think, Arlington Heights or somewhere further off than there even. And on Friday, May 13th of 2020, no traffic at 4:30 on a down had begun. And it was the weirdest thing to drive home from the Arlington Heights area to Woodstock on Highway 14 on a Friday afternoon with like no traffic. It was surreal. It starts to remind you of those weird apocalyptic movies like The Walking Dead and stuff like that. And it was just strange. I mean, the commute was a lot shorter. I didn't mind that, but it was all very weird. I remember another day when the world has turned upside down. We lived in Council Bluffs, Iowa, the far western border of Iowa, right across from Omaha, Nebraska. We were there this past week on part of our vacation visiting old friends. My wife was doing home daycare in our home, and I was working as a lay staff person as the director of discipleship at Salem United Methodist Church in Council Bluffs. And as the families started to come to our home to bring their kids for home daycare, John, one of the dads, said, hey, have you seen the news this morning? And I said, no, I haven't. He said, well, there's something really weird happening in New York. And by the time I got to the church office, we were undergoing a big building campaign. There were construction workers, many of whom we had gotten to know and visit with. And we had a TV on in the fellowship hall with rabbit ear antennas to pull in the local TV schedule as we started to watch all the things that were happening in New York that morning of September 11th. And again, even in western Iowa, eastern Nebraska, something far away removed in New York was so strange. So strange. And so we celebrate Easter Sunday with beautiful flowers and sometimes brightly colored Easter eggs filled with candies and Easter dresses and getting gussied up, and yet that first Easter must have been so strange for the followers of Jesus. So strange. After everything they had done those few days before. And so we live in the realm and in the world of the resurrection. We live in the world and in the realm of he is risen indeed. And we celebrate that and we rejoice in that. And it's wonderful. The hope in the love and the grace and the new life offered in Jesus Christ. And we are called as the disciples and the apostles today, as the faith community today, much like the church in the early book of Acts, to take that message, to take that hope, to take that promise into the world around us, into the neighborhoods around us. I was in Arlington Heights Friday. We had a training at work, and I drove through an intersection. It's kind of a big intersection, but I have no idea what the streets were. All I know is it's the intersection I take to get to Arby's if I want a roast beef sandwich. And there was a church, a group of people from a church there. And there was a whole bunch of them. And this was one of those large, you know, three lanes from each direction, intersections and turning lanes and all that. And there was someone out there with a bullhorn, and they were out with posters proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and Jesus lives, and they were handing out bits and brochures and stuff like that. Well, it was Good Friday, and so Good Friday I had the service here, and I had a service at a nursing home, and so I was wearing my clerical collar, and so they didn't really pay me any attention. They figured I was probably on the same team already. And so they kind of walked by, and I was curious what they were handing out, but, you know, they were out there and knocking on car windows and telling people about Jesus, presumably. I don't know what church they were from, what denomination they're from. And it got me to thinking, as we talk about reaching out into the neighborhood and visiting with our neighbors and talking to them, and I've already told you a few times, and I'll keep reminding you, we're not reaching out into the neighborhood just to get more backsides in the seats and money in the plate, that kind of thing. We're reaching out with the hope and the promise of Jesus Christ. We're reaching out to build relationships with other people. Relationships and friendships to walk alongside them, to invite them to walk alongside us. We have to remember, as a church, reaching out into neighborhoods and things is so much different now than when it was years ago, 15 years ago, 25 years ago, 50 years ago. 50 years ago, you kind of assumed all your neighbors went to church, even if you didn't go to the same church. And sometimes we assume different things about people that don't attend church, like maybe they don't believe or don't understand or don't get it, when in fact, a lot of people that don't attend church nowadays do believe and do get it. They just have some issues perhaps with the church, maybe not this church, but maybe capital C, the church in general. And how does that impact how we reach out? It's not like a door-to-door sales type operation. When I was in elementary school, and I can't hardly believe this nowadays, I won the award for selling the most Christmas ornaments for my elementary school fundraiser. Because my mom turned me loose in the neighborhood, and I would knock on any single door just because. And they were these Currier and Ives plastic acrylic Christmas ornaments. Of course, I had kind of a ring in, because every door I knocked in, I probably was also their paper boy already, or had been at one time. I remember being disappointed if people didn't buy from me, and I would say to Mom, well, maybe if I go back later and try again, they'll buy. And Mom was like, maybe not. But when we go out into the neighborhood, I want to be able to say things like, hi, how are you? Yesterday, something really cool happened. Yesterday, I came here Linda was already here. Linda and I had been at a PRC meeting up in that other Elgin. And I came down here. Linda was already in here, hard at work. Her car was in the corner of the parking lot. And as I pulled into the parking lot, down here in this end of the parking lot were two adults and two children with hockey sticks and little balls. And they were just beating the balls around the parking lot with a hockey stick. And so I pulled in and I parked. And anytime I pull into someone doing something in the parking lot that's maybe not church-related, like running their dog over there, I always feel a little bad because I don't want them to get that feeling like, uh-oh, we're busted. So I got out of my car and grabbed my stuff, and I walked over them, and I said, hi, how's it going? And the little kids were beating the balls with the hockey sticks around. And I said, what a beautiful day to be outside. Isn't that great? And introduced myself, and the gentleman introduced himself, and he and his wife, these were their two young children, were visiting for Easter, and they lived two or three houses down that way. And it was just an opportunity to say hi, and I said, my name's Jason, and I'm the minister here. And they said, well, we're just kind of beating the ball around here. I hope that's okay. I said, you bet that's okay. No problem. Absolutely. I would have offered to play with them, but it would have been terribly embarrassing. Plus, I would hate to risk hitting a small child with a hockey stick, because that makes a very bad impression, okay? Just to be clear. But it was fun to just greet them and welcome them, and they said, is that okay? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's fine. Fine. Just to say hi. Just to say hi. Now, here's the trick. The pastor didn't even invite them to church, because I just wanted to say hi. If they'd asked me something, if they'd said, well, when is church tomorrow? I'd have said, hey, have I got a deal for you? I just wanted to say hi. And that's the biggest thing we can do, is to build relationships in our neighborhood, is to just say hi to folks. To say hi. To say we're here. To say in the first, have a little bonfire with s'mores and hot dogs. Come and join us. Hang out with us. In July, school. Just that kind of stuff. The Easter message is very simple. I'll always go back to John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that anyone who believed in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And number 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. That's the message we have to share with our neighbors. And another message we have to share with our neighbors is, you're welcome here. We all live in the same neighborhood. We'd just like to get to know you. Let us pray. Lord, how do we thank you? Jesus, how do we thank you for your sacrifice, for your unconditional love and grace extended to us, not because we have earned it, not because we find favor, but simply because we are your beloved children. And we are your beloved children because you call us that. Everyone in this neighborhood, all of the kids, teachers, and the staff at the high school across the street are your beloved children because you call us that. Help us to share with all of the other beloved children in this neighborhood, to remind them that you love them and care for them no matter what. That we love them and would just like to get to know them a little better. Amen. It is the third day. It's the day of resurrection that we celebrate, we rejoice, we give thanks, and we give praise, and we take this message of hope and love and grace, forgiveness, pardon, and salvation to all the world. Go now in the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father Almighty, the fellowship, the communion, and the power of the Holy Spirit this day and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.